Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 8 of the 10 things you have decided about yourself at the age of 20 will, over time, prove to be false. The other 2 things will prove to be so true that you'll look back in 20 years and howl. Okay, so when I was reading through Cheryl Strayed's new book, Brave Enough, it's a collection of quotes from her talks and essays, that one, that quotation about looking back on your 20s, well, it just stopped me right in my tracks because I'm, how do I put this? I'm about to turn the corner on 20 plus 20, and it's true. 8 of the 10 things I decided about myself 2 decades ago are absolutely false. Cheryl, how did you know?
Well, because I have turned that corner. I'm 47. And in my 40s, I've done a lot of reflecting on what it means to be in your 20s. When I was writing my Dear Sugar column, and now I do the Dear Sugar radio podcast, and a lot of the questions I get are about, you know, from these 20-somethings saying, who am I and how do I find out who I am? And that really that what that quote rose out of for me is my own sense that, you know, you try a lot of things on in your youth, yeah. Right? But then there are a couple of things that are deeply, deeply true. And you'll do well to never forget what those things are and follow them all of your life.
Right. You know, hang on. Let me just give you a full and proper introduction. Then we can continue our talk because Cheryl Strayed is author of course, the best-selling memoir, Wild, about her soul-transforming hike along the Pacific Crest Trail. And as she mentioned, she also shares life advice with Steve Almond in the popular WBR podcast, Dear Sugar. And as I said, her new book is Brave Enough. And I have to say, like, I looking back on my own 20s and 30s, I feel like the challenge is how do you figure out what of those two out of those 10 things right. are true, right? Because it could be any one of those 10 things when you're 20, 21, 22.
Yes and no. I mean, I have 2 answers for you. One is the beauty of life and the beauty of growing is sometimes, you know, following paths that lead nowhere or to lead us to bad places and learning that wasn't the thing that was true, that was in some ways some facade or false premise that you were proceeding on. But I also think it's true that in our core deepest place, when we're willing to be fearlessly honest with ourselves, we know what our passions are. We know what that deepest truth is inside. For example, for me, from a very young age, I wanted to be a writer. Even though a lot of voices around me were saying, well, that's not going to pay the bills and that's not a very financially secure path. If I had listened to those voices, it would have been yeah. the false way. And so what I always encourage people to do is at every stage of their life, ask what's the deepest truth.
Okay, so I mean, I think the thing that really resonates with me with what you just said is it's finding the courage to be honest with yourself,
yes.
which sometimes is... I mean, it takes courage. It's not so easy.
It's always hard.
Yeah. And so, I mean, actually, that leads me to the book, the new book, Brave Enough. First of all, I'm intrigued by the title.
Thank you. It's from the quote, "Be brave enough to break your own heart," which is in the book. And what that means to me is just what you're driving at, this idea of having the courage to make decisions that you know are the right ones, even if they hurt you to make, leaving that job or that relationship, altering maybe some of the dreams that you had for yourself that were more coming from outside of you rather than within. Those things can be really painful. It can be painful to walk in the direction of your deepest desires. And I think we all have to be brave enough to do that in order to be evolved whole people.
Well, the quotations that you've selected, I mean, they range from the small and simple, trust your gut, forgive yourself, be grateful.
Right.
Longer ones about, how about, I'll never know and neither will you about the life you didn't choose. We'll only know that whatever that sister life was, it was important and beautiful and not ours. It was the ghost ship that didn't carry us. There's nothing to do but salute it from the shore. That one's a bit wistful to me.
Yes. Well, and we all have that sister life, right? We all have that thing that we might have done and didn't because we were occupied doing something else. And I think there's a beauty in that. And you say some of these quotes are simple. What I've learned as both an advice giver and, you know, just somebody who's had to answer a lot of questions in my own life is sometimes it's the simplest truths that are the hardest to learn. How hard is it to trust your gut? Some people take their whole lives to learn how to do that. Some people never learn how to do that.
Right. Well, allowing ourselves to get lost in complexity is oftentimes a defense, I think. But I mean, I didn't mean simple in the pejorative sense at all, because let me tell you, my own sort of tiny revelations in my own little life have oftentimes just meant confronting the simple truth. But I'm curious about this book. Why did you decide to do it this way, to take, you know, quotations from your own writing, your own talks, and use them sort of in isolation? Because on the one hand, they all read very beautifully, but on the other hand, they're also kind of out of context.
Right. Too. They're all from, like you said, my talks and my previous books. And essentially, this is a book that was born of the readers. My publisher noticed that people on the internet were, all these memes had gone viral, these quotes from my books and so forth. I was getting email from people who have lines from my books tattooed on their bodies, which always makes me laugh. And what I realized is that people, readers, were using my quotes in the same ways that I've used quotes by other writers all of my life. And that is, you take that kernel of truth, that piece of truth that isn't necessarily about the writer's life, it's about your own life. It becomes yours, and you write it on a piece of paper that you put on your refrigerator, your bulletin board, or whatnot. And I saw that people were doing this on the internet. So really brave enough, this book was born of that response from readers. And I essentially put it together by crowdsourcing. I wasn't concerned about what do I think are the wise things I had to say. I think that would be a ridiculous prospect. What I was...
Well, people do think you're wise, though.
No. Trust me. My husband doesn't think I'm so wise. My kids don't think. But, you know, what I thought is these quotes are obviously useful to readers. And so in so many ways, I gathered the most useful ones that they told me were useful and put them together in the collection.
So is it supposed to be just like a little meditation for every day?
Yeah, it's like a portable Cheryl Strayed. And not that anyone needs that.
There's
right?
The podcast, too, though. I should say. I'm going to plug the podcast once again. But I love these, like, put yourself in the way of beauty.
You know, that's... the one quote in the book that isn't technically by me.
Oh, I picked the one?
It's from my mother. And those who've seen the movie Wild will know that that's in the movie, that my mother would always say to me that no matter how miserable your life is, there's always a sunrise and a sunset, and you can decide whether to show up for it. Put yourself in the way of beauty. And so it became a mantra of my life, and that's how it ended up in the book.
So what has it meant to you that you find yourself in this place where... your words have such power and such meaning for so many people?
I think it's really the great astonishment of my life. And the only sense I can make of it is I believe words have power. And I dedicated my life to becoming somebody who could make and use language in ways that were powerful. And so if anything, I feel sort of like a conduit. I know what it feels like to find truth in literature and in books and the words that others have written. And so I just feel honored and privileged that other people have found that in my words as well.
And do you ever, there's the honor, privilege, do you ever feel a sense of responsibility also too? I mean, if people are turning to you, I mean, they're obviously turning to you for advice, they're turning to you for inspiration.
Yeah. You know, I do, but I don't experience it as a burden. And here's why. I have given the best I can in my books. I've given the world everything I have to offer in my books and the podcast. And so, you know, when people come to me and say, thank you, I don't feel that I owe them more. I don't have to be their friend, or I don't have to, offer more consoling words. It's all there in the books. And so I experience it as a gift, really, when people say thank you.
So let me read one more then. Humility is about refusing to get all tangled up with yourself. It's about surrender, receptivity, awareness, simplicity, breathing in, breathing out. I think you just demonstrated that.
Oh, thank you. Humility is the hardest thing, isn't it? I for me in my own life, that phrase getting all bound up. When I first wanted to be a writer, I was like, I want to be the best writer, the greatest writer. And I realized I could not do that. I couldn't carry that vision in my head. I had to sit down and write one sentence at a time. And I think that that's the only way we do anything. It's not up to us to decide whether it's great or not. It's up to us to do the work. And that's what humility is to me.
Well, the new book is Brave Enough. It is a collection of quotations and thoughts and kernels of wisdom from Cheryl Strayed. She's the best-selling author of Wild, and also she co-hosts the Dear Sugar podcast from WBUR with Steve Almond. Cheryl Strayed, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you and to be on my WBUR.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, as we head towards the break, we just wanted to make this note, not totally random that we're playing James Taylor, because Boston's own crooner is going to be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The White House announced just last night that Taylor and 16 others, including Steven Spielberg and Gloria Estefan, will be recognized at a special ceremony a week from today. Now, those cultural icons, including Taylor, are pretty great, but we also wanted to tip our hats to other winners, including the late Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman elected to Congress, and groundbreaking NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson. And by the way, given the fact that James Taylor himself is a diehard Red Sox fan, I'm going to guess that he's probably most excited about sharing the White House stage with baseball great Willie Mays, who's also being honored with the Medal of Freedom. Congratulations to all of them. Stay with us right now because there's more ahead. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.